Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Thanks for that, Will. David Brady and Mossy Quinn are back in studio. You've just spent the last half hour since the news round out reminiscing, I presume. Maybe 06 semi-final might have been the talking point, David.
No, me and Mossy are good friends.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The hatchet has been buried a long time. We're actually, we talk now.
Converse. Yeah, that's the deal. If David brings it up, I just go silent and we just leave it at that, yeah.
He has enough grenades to come back at me on.
What was going through your head when you saw him marching down with all his colleagues towards the hill? Were you laughing?
He didn't see me first anyway. I was hidden in behind the bigger lads.
I was calling for a few bigger lads.
You were talking about overrated sports people or sports moments. Which was it?
The question was overrated sports teams. No, Mossy came up with the Irish rugby team and I cut him down straight away.
Irish rugby team. I just said there may be some rugby. We didn't get into the specifics. But
November
maybe.
Internationals.
No, not in particular. But yeah, no, we just talked about some of the Irish, some of the rugby players. Again, it's just a perception, but that would be from my side of things, maybe.
Quinn slams Irish rugby is all I'm hearing. What are you going for? I dare say you had an opinion on it.
No, I don't have opinion on anything like that. I just stick to what I know.
I want stitching that me up.
stitching Mozzie up.
So we're going to look ahead really to Dublin against Westmeath. We'll have bits and pieces on the qualifiers this weekend. We'll be talking to Tom Cribben on tomorrow night's show as well, ahead of Dublin against Westmeath. And we will also talk to Kieran Deely, the London manager, ahead of their qualifier at the weekend. We'll hear from that on Saturday. But we'll talk Dublin-Westmeath now. Mossy, often when we're talking about how we prepare to analyse a Dublin game, it's quite difficult because we know they're going to win this. It'll be the shock of this summer and probably the last 10 years if Westmeath were to somehow win this Leinster semi-final. From Jim Gavin's point of view, from Dublin's point of view, how did they go around preparing for this game? At this stage, is it just a familiar routine?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, let's be honest, it's probably the same conversation we've had for every Leinster game for the last couple of years under Jim. So the players are well used to it. We're probably getting used to trying to analyse or, you know, talk up these games. But the team, the biggest competition they get comes from themselves. And, you know, there's a lot of guys trying to put their hands up. And the performance against Carlow was probably okay by their standards. They scored 19 points, but no one really stood out or no one really put their hand up to, you know, stake a claim for a jersey, you know, particularly the guys that were coming into the squad. So, you know, a lot of them will be looking on Sunday as an opportunity to do that. I think you saw Bernard Brogan this week. He's already, people are talking about maybe as an impact sub role, and he's made it pretty clear he thinks there's more in him. I do as well. And you know, someone like him going out as looking to show how sharp he can be, or as, you know, show that he's still one of the forwards that can start for this Dublin team, you know, they're the type of storylines I think we should be looking at.
And that is a huge advantage to Jim Gavin too. I don't want to say hold Bernard Brogan in reserve, because there probably is a sense that Bernard Brogan has to fight for his place back in the team, but you can leave Bernard Brogan on the bench again against Westmeath. You can prove a point and think of the position Bernard Brogan's going to be in mentally for an All-Ireland semi-final or final, when that might be the first start he gets all summer.
You can. There's pros and cons to leaving guys in reserve. Like, this isn't the first person it's happened to, and Bernard showed a lot of maturity last year to deal with the being dropped for an All-Ireland final replay very well. He came on and made an impact in the game, and you've seen in the league he's done well again. You know, he came on against Monaghan in a crucial game away. He scored a brilliant goal, showed his class, and I think it is an advantage. Jim knows that. He knows Bernard's temperament. He knows he's someone he can rely on. But the flip to that is Bernard's going to be saying, look, he knows. You see Bernard from years past, he gets his sharpness in Leinster games, he gets his eye in, and he'd much rather be out there Sunday getting 60, 70 minutes under his belt rather than getting another 15 minutes at the end, particularly if he does have to go in further down the line against a Tyrone or a Kerry or a Mayo. You know, Bernard would much rather have time in the legs, and you know, I think that's something that Jim is going to have to balance.
Yeah, hard to imagine even probably a year ago that we'd be talking about Bernard Brogan out of the Dublin starting 15, and Jim Gavin made that big decision ahead of the All-Ireland replay. What's changed in Brogan's game that he's maybe even given Jim Gavin that option?
Yeah, I suppose Bernard would probably say a lot more has changed in the game than what's changed in Bernard Brogan, I suppose. It's over the last few years, football is not the kindest of places to a corner forward, especially with the teams you're going to be playing are going to be playing a swarm defence. So you're not going to have that bit of room and latitude that you would have, that Bernard probably had in the early, you know, 2010, 11, 12, where you'd have more room, more space. I think that's went against him to a degree. And again, it's called kicking the ball, and Dublin don't do it really anymore. The whole possession, the retained possession. So you're not going to get massive first-time ball popped into you and, you know, as Bernard's trademark was, gather in front and turn and lose his marker at the same time. I think it's a bit more frustrating for Bernard. But again, I think the way Jim Gavin has seems to pick the Dublin team is that he picks it on merit and who's playing well and who's not playing well. And certain, I suppose, certain conditions, like it was I think Alan said this week, it was kicking the balls for Bernard to get dropped for an hour in the final last year. But again, it's a lot of it is, I do think, down to supply and the kind of ball that's going in. They haven't really played an out-and-out target man on full forward, which would be ideal for your, the likes of your Paul Mannions or Bernard to come and link and loop with your target man. It's you know what is it, 33 now? And I think when you do get, Monsi, we're both at the opposite end of the spectrum, but coming towards the end of your career, you do automatically get that you're going, you know what, it's not the end, but if it's going to be the end, I'll make it count. And it's not the end for Bernard, but I think he is, he looks leaner. He's probably a bit more appetite and a bit more, you know, in his own game, I think he's a bit more confident. And as you were talking, confidence is everything. It's no good coming on if you don't have confidence, because you have to have a confident player is unstoppable at times. He mightn't be, you know, as good a player as what's around him, but if he's confident and he's on his game, he's hard to stop. But I think Bernard has, I think he's a big gear in him. And again, you have the seniority of the likes of Bernard. You have Dennis Bastic coming now back in a midfield area, whereas, you know, there's injuries and there's numbers lacking. So again, Dublin have the players to call on.
Yeah, and there is a place available in this game, in the Leinster final, possibly even All Ireland semi final, with Dermot Connolly's suspension. Jim Gavin hasn't been doing any press conferences ahead of any of these championship games. Now, some might say, what difference does it really make? You know, he's very good at keeping his thoughts to himself. What do you think Gavin's reaction within the dressing room has been to Connolly's suspension and missing such a big chunk of the season?
I would say it's probably muted to a degree in the dressing room as well. It's like, you don't need to, I suppose, you probably, he'd hear his thoughts once, I would say, as a manager, and say, let's learn from this as a lesson. But probably privately and one-to-one with Dermot, he's probably, you know, a bit more open and honest behind closed doors, because it's not something you berate a player in front of everyone. Everyone knows it was a mistake. I think he's probably not, like a lot of things, just it's happened and he's moved on. He doesn't want to focus on it. And he's not doing any press conferences, is he? No?
Not so far anyways, no.
Right. Yeah,
no.
He's
keeping the head down.
Keeping the bib clean, yeah. Massey might be instructed on what to...
That's way above my pay grade.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine that, and we'll talk Westmeath in a moment, that when we get to an All-Ireland semi-final, and presuming Dublin are in it, the week and the 2 weeks in advance, we'll concentrate on, will Dermot Connolly come straight back into the side? You'd have to imagine there's no guarantees for Connolly at this stage. That, in fact, if anything, if you're going to teach him a lesson, that it will be somebody else comes in and he starts an All-Ireland semi-final on the bench.
Yeah, I suppose I can't say they've given it too much consideration, because like you said, there's no guarantees that Dermot comes back in. There's no guarantees that Dublin get there, you know, and it's one of those things I doubt it's even come up on Jim's radar or anyone in Dublin's radar. Like, I know they're very meticulous, and I know people don't really like to hear it because it's boring to the likes of us when we're trying to talk about it, but all they're looking at is the Westmeath game at the weekend. I know people even internally be talking about, oh, Kildare were so impressive last weekend. It won't have even registered with the lads what Kildare did last weekend, never mind who could be coming down the tracks, you know. And I know, I think the Dermot incident would have been parked very quickly. I think the squad would have moved on, and I think like Dale said, it's like a little speed bump on the road and they're gone and they're on to the next, you know. And I think that's the way they deal with it. I think that's the way Jim and the players deal with it. I don't see it being an issue. And yeah, if they get to an All-Ireland semi-final, it'll obviously raise its head in terms of what they're going to do, and I suppose that's something they'll have to look at.
You're guaranteeing them a place in All-Ireland semi-final anyway.
You're
the most confident Dublin man I've met in the last few weeks.
I'm not turning my back on Mayo, don't you worry about that. Dublin without Connolly, then how much of a difference does it make to the way they line up on Sunday?
won't change a huge amount in terms of their shape or in terms of what they're going out to do. Like, their team, their structure will be the same. Their mindset, their attacking mindset will still be the same. But he's obviously, in terms of the skill set, you can't replace him like for like. You know, he's going to be a huge loss for them. But look, they've played a lot of games without him. Like, Dermot's missed games on the club runs in the last couple of years. And I know that they've been league games, but it's not as if they're going into a game with it, like, for the first time in a long time where he hasn't been there. You know, like, he only figured small patches during the league this year. So, you know, it's something they'll have been used to doing. And while they'd much rather he was there, it's just an opportunity for someone else, and that's the way it'll be looked upon. You know, it just means, if it means Kev McManaman or Paddy Andrews or someone comes into the team, they're going to be looking to put on a performance themselves, and I'd say the management will be looking to see who's going to put their hand up.
Yeah, he started every single game in Championship under Jim Gavin. So, you know, I suppose there is a certain amount of man's history there, that every game that they've played, and whether it's Carlo or Curry and Arnold, you know, they're Championship games. There is a little bit more to them. I think there will be, to say who comes in on the half hour line to replace him. Who will provide you with the outlet that he gives you as a marksman, also a free taker to a degree, and he can kick points for fun when he's allowed. Paddy Andrews, I was surprised he didn't come on. Now, look, we don't know the internal injury scenario, but he was on the bench against Carlo, didn't come on. But you have, I suppose, Paul Flynn as an option there. You have, you know, Conor Callaghan is going to give them that little bit extra dimension. I think having a second Championship game under his belt is going to...
It's probably one of the things, like, if you think about the Dublin forward line of the last couple of years, you could have sat here and said Connolly, Flynn, Brogan, Dean Rock and Kieran Kilkenny, five of the six probably picked themselves to a certain extent, and then the other one interchanged between Kev Mack, between Paddy, you know, Mannion. Whereas, if you look at that now, it's probably down to, out of that, probably, I would say, Kieran and Dean pick themselves. Paul might, like, if Paul's fit, I would say I would include him in that. But we've already talked about the question marks over Bernard. Now, Dermot's not around. So it does change the dynamic of, instead of having your kind of four or five set guys, now you're down to, it's a little bit more interchangeable. And that's what I mean about the Carlo game earlier. No one really, like, everyone in Dublin's really excited to see Conor Callaghan. And I hope he gets another chance in Croke Park this weekend. And it's the same with Paul Mannion, showing some serious form in club football. And, you know, so these are guys that they're going to get opportunities, and they're going to need to show, can they play a 10 or 12? Like I said, I don't think anyone can do what Dearman's going to do. So, but the expectation isn't for them to come in and be Dearman. The expectation is for them to come in, and if the role of play a 12 or 13, it's to do what they can do to the best.
Play to the template.
Yeah, and that'll be enough for them.
Yeah.
Is competition for places always a good thing? So if you're still involved, do you think, all right, we're going into this week, it's all up for grabs, we don't know exactly who's going to start where, or would you prefer to be going in thinking, well, this is where I'm playing and these are going to be the five other forwards around me?
Selfishly, as an individual, you'd love to be in the position where you know you're playing and you can get your head right from earlier in the week. But I think from a squad perspective, competitions, it's crucial. It's vital to have that belief, because if you get to the stage where the back end of the squad start losing belief and start thinking, well, do you know what, I don't have that chance to either play or come on, I think the quality drops and the standards drop. Whereas, and you know, if it's a very set 15 or a very set forward line, whereas I think that's why good managers, and if you're in a fortunate position to have a good enough squad, you try and mix it up a little bit to try and keep that edge there. And players, once they have that edge and they feel there's someone looking over their shoulder, I think there's always that little bit of kind of spark that they're going to get.
There's no issue with patterns of play, with game plans, with preparation, if you're constantly changing things? Or is it a case that, here we are Thursday night, we're 3 days away, whatever team they're going out with in training is the team that's going to start the game on Sunday?
To a degree, I suppose, yeah. There's going to be no major changes from what they've been doing in the last 2 weeks to who's going to start on Sunday. Again, the likes of the vast majority of inter-county teams don't go out and go 15 versus 15 Tuesday, you know, two or three nights a week. There's time and a place to say, right, you always kind of know when's your opportunity to say, now I can really put it in the mindset of Jim Gavin or my manager to say, you know what, Brady is going well. He's been going well for the last 2 or 3 weeks, not just in games, but in your whole persona and the way even like a lot of them, the training drills that are there now are scenarios. Is he adapting to the right scenario? I think that what I see a little bit more from Dublin this year, and they've been lacking in the last 2 or 3 years, is penetration-wise, especially when you're holding... when you're holding the likes of Jack McCaffrey not playing, I think he's adding another dimension. James McCarthy is coming forward a lot more. I think Dublin are penetrating more this year because you have the likes and you have the speed on the wing. Scully, again, is another example. he's adding a little bit of competition there into your half back line. I do see that their pattern a little bit more attacking from the half back line, but again, and it's you're going down to you're going back to Westmeath. What can Westmeath offer you? And I do think that they would have. See, I think it's a lot easier and a lot better for Westmeath this year to come into a scenario where it's not a Leinster final. Like, a game is a game, but Leinster finals are a little bit. You're a little bit more. It's a bigger day out. But I do think, and if you look at football as a general and look at Carlow, you're going, the vast majority of the time, Carlow are trying to play in football. But they went with a defensive system and it worked for a while. But I see, and games are becoming a lot more competitive. It's been a fantastic championship across the board in all the provinces to a degree. Good, tight, open, competitive games, but they're tight in a context where you have 13 or 14 defenders. I think it's the third year now in a row that Westmeath are coming up against Dublin. Some people say, I've seen Tomás O'Farrell saying, they should open up and just go at it. I think they've been planning and plotting for 2 years how on a defensive mindset. But what has happened in GAA now is that teams are 3 or 4 years into the idea of, right, we know what we're doing in defence, let's add something in attack. And I think if Westmeath can add a little bit more, well, a lot more, to be honest, in their attack and their attack formation. You know what? I think because they have to a degree held Dublin coming into half time. Even in last year's, in the last 2 years, there's only been 2 or 3 points in it. But it's the 10 minutes after half time where they've been absolutely railroaded, and they'll be cognizant of that as well.
And Westmeath are one of the few teams in Leinster that, if you look at their personnel up front, that's where a lot of their strengths lie. Like, as in Paul Sherry at 11, I know he sometimes plays midfield. He's a very, very good, creative footballer. Good on the ball, strong on the ball. And Kieran Martin and John Heslin inside, they're as good a two-man inside line as you're going to get, you know. So they do have the potential to score, but it's trying to get that balance between, you know, sitting too deep and then getting support to those guys at the right times. And that's something they're going to have to show that they've learned from the last couple of years.
And that's it. The lessons are learned, man. The homework has to be done. And again, you're going, right, we've talked about a swarm defence. How do we get men back? But it's how do we attack a little bit better? And a lot of teams are advancing in the attacking formation, because the reality that the whole new game of chess and GA has only been around for the last 5 or 6 years when you look at it.
But for any team that plays a swarm defence, blanket defence, a defensive setup, the key is the transition. The key is getting it out of defence. When you do get the ball back, when you have a bit of time at it, getting it forward quickly and then getting good ball into those forwards. It's something we haven't really seen from Westmeath. All right, they set up well first half the last 2 years. They've kept it a tight game. They've been destroyed in the second half. The second that they, I don't know if they even tried to be that little bit more ambitious, but the second their focus dropped, Dublin absolutely destroyed them. How do you go about improving the transition from defence into attack when you're not really playing teams of Dublin's quality, except this weekend?
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. And I think that's the thing. They have to be realistic in terms of, like, some teams they could go out and say, right, if we play defensive, get 12 men back, we're happy to win a 10-9 arm wrestle. You're not going to hold Dublin to 10 points, even if you play all 15 behind the ball for the whole day. It's not going to happen. So Dublin are going to hit 115, 116 minimum, you would think, no matter, you know, what they're getting. So Westmeath have to look and say, well, how do we get to that? I would suggest that the only way they get to it is that they score goals, as in they'll need multiple goals. So they nearly have to have the mindset that if we're here to win, any kind of, and I'm not talking about ridiculous pot shots from 25 yards, but if you're coming in on goal, the first instinct has to be, look up, is there another guy inside? Can I make another pass? Rather than thinking, geez, I'll clip a 30-yard score here and I've got 0-1 beside my name in the paper tomorrow. You know, little things like that where you challenge the players to say, right, can
forwards
we...
think like that?
Absolutely. So it's... But things like that, I would say, have to be... Now, that's when you get the ball up there, but the transition has to be better. You need to be willing to release some of your half-backs, or if you do drop a wing forward back, the wing forward can sit in a half-back goes. They just have to come out. Rather than having 10 guys sitting at all times, when they do get it, they are going to have to commit men. Now look, it will leave them a little bit more open, but that is the risk they're going to have
and
to
it
take.
Is repetitiveness, you knowing when you go and when I stay, or what, you know. Again, they've only scored one goal in 7 years against Dublin, so that's you know, they need a goal of some sort. If they get it, it can give you so much more. This is what we've been talking about, this is what we've been focused on, this is what we've been training for. All of a sudden we have a goal. Now it's not a license then to shut up shop, but It's I do think overall, as a general context, GAA teams have learned and adapted the defensive system, and they're adding a little bit more to attack, and especially kind of patterns attack and whose role is what, and that's the key when you're doing a counter attack from a swarm defense.
It's an almost impossible task, though, for Tom Cribben, especially when you look at the way their personnel shapes up, and you touch on their outstanding players are mostly attacking players. There must be a temptation of, do we drop John Heslin back a little bit because we want to get him involved in the game more? But then you're taking away your main attacking outlet of just going long into John Heslin.
Yeah, on that, what is it, 4 balls he got last year?
Yeah.
So you're going... That hasn't been. He's the number one attacker, but they haven't.
And himself and Kieran Martin are big guys. Like, they're physical guys. They're well able to win ball, well able to get out in front, and they can use it themselves. You know, the one thing is, they're not relying on when they win it. They need a runner off the shoulder. It helps at times, but they're strong enough and they can both kick with both feet. Kieran Martin's a very direct runner. And that's not a problem that's unique to Westmeath, though. Like, we continuously talk about Michael Murphy, Aidan O'Shea. Sometimes teams look at these guys and they say, his skill set would be great to have him on the edge of the square for the whole game, but you know what, we're going to need him for spells out the pitch. And it is trying to find, well, can we afford to leave him in there? But it is being smarter when he is in there. When he's in there, don't leave him standing there for 7, 8, 9 minutes with whoever it is, Johnny Cooper, 6 or 7 yards out in front of him. You know, like, they have to find different ways to challenge him and make the Dublin defenders think.
Yeah, Jim McGuinness, you said it, maybe the best way for Mayo to beat Dublin was to go for a sort of Twin Towers approach and put Aidan O'Shea in on the edge of the square. With Martin, with Heslin, is that the only real game plan that can get that return of goals, that you do go with the two of them in on top of the Dublin full back line, and every time you get the ball, just try and get that 60-yard ball in on top of them?
Well, if nothing else, it's different than what they've done in the last 2 years. Like, if they come up with the same system to try and keep it tight for the first half and get blown out of it in the first 15 minutes of the second half, like, it's not just deja vu. This is the third time. You know, like, it's one of those things where you'd be kind of saying, you'd be scratching your head. So whether that's the solution, but I think from a Westmeath perspective, if you're a Westmeath fan coming up on Sunday, you've got to think that you want to see them try something different anyway. And that's not the worst idea in the world anyway.
I'm onto something.
Yeah, there you go.
something is better than nothing.
Is there any sort of a weakness in this Dublin side that they can attack? I'm thinking, if you're talking about the halfback line bombing forward, if maybe you just let Jack McCaffrey go and you try and take advantage of the space when he is gone on those mazy runs forward.
You often don't have a chance to let him go. He goes and you can't catch him. So that's just
so
what
why
happens
waste
with
the
Jack.
Energy?
Yeah. Like, it's. Trying to find those holes, but Dublin have got, and I was interested listening to David talk about Dublin don't kick the ball and Dublin have evolved in the last 2 years. They're not as gung-ho as they were. They were very attacking. They loved kicking the ball in. Now they're very happy, or they certainly were, to recycle it. And you'd see Kieran coming out around the middle of the field and taking passes and going sideways. And they're probably trying to find that balance now, where I think they do want to. I'd like to see them kick it more. I'd like to see them get a bit, like, I know when Paul Flynn gets it, he's an excellent kick passer. Same when Dermot's on the pitch and he gets it. They do look for that inside ball, because as an inside forward, it can't be just guys running all the time. You do want some ball to come in and test the full back line. So that's one of the things where for Dublin to have a look at. But from a Westmeath perspective, yeah, like, you're trying to pick holes in it, you know. Dublin do take chances. They commit numbers forward. If they can get a turnover and break a pace themselves, then they might have an opportunity to get balls into the likes of John Heslin one-on-one, or Kieran Martin. And, you know, those guys, most forwards would fancy themselves if they're 30 or 40 yards of space either side. It's very, very difficult for any cornerback to shut someone down in that situation.
The thinking behind Dublin wanting to recycle the ball more in around the midfield and around the opposition 45, is that responding to the type of game plan they've been going up against? Are they trying to drag defences out a little bit more?
I would have thought so, yeah, because I think they showed a couple of years ago, the attitude at the time was probably more just keep going gung-ho and either keep kicking it in or keep running into it, and they were either getting turned over or they were more reacting to everything. It was more players taking pot shots, and even the semi-final that they were beaten in by Donegal, like, Dermot and Paul Flynn kicked some unbelievable scores, but was it sustainable? That was just individual brilliance rather than any kind of a game plan. So I'd say they've gone back and had a look at it and said, okay, well, if bodies are back there, there's no point in someone carrying it at pace into three men. That's what they want to do. So if it means we have to come back twice, move it across the pitch, drag someone out of position, and it's being patient, and it's, you know, they're comfortable doing that. If it means they might end up with with less shots at the end of the game, but they've more, and it's not one of these. I know sometimes in soccer you see possession stats, it's not to have possession for the sake of having it. They're trying to be creative with it, they're trying to change angles, and you know, and that's what all the team, like most good teams who are playing defences like that, try and do.
Yeah, and the counter of that is Westmeath. You know, they've got into scoring positions, but again, as Mossy says, pot shots. I think there was an article, I think it's Eamon Dunne, who is it? The Irish Times. Like, there's a 14 to 16 balls landed in Cluxton's hands in the last few games from Westmeath shooting. You're going, that's why, that's maturity that Dublin have. And it's a sense of belief and confidence to say, you know what, let's keep recycling it. Let's keep going over and back. Let's keep opening the channels, see where we want to, find the weak spots. And if it takes 2.5 minutes, or if it takes a minute and a half, you'll find them, and if you retain ball and you don't take the ball into the tackle, and that's what Dublin don't do. Yeah. They don't take the ball into the tackle. There's no real direct running from the off, and they'll find your weakness.
And a couple of years ago, they might have won a game like that, 2-22 to 15 points. Now they're happy to win it.
Yeah.
18 points to 9, you know, that type of way, like, whether even if it reduces theirs by 5 or 6, they're comfortable with that. Like, it's something they can live with because it reduces that very small margin of getting sucker punched, you know. So if they, you know, if that's something they're willing to take.
Going full circle then, that Dublin game plan, would that not feed into a nice little nippy corner forward like a Bernard Brogan, who might find himself with some more space in the full forward line?
Yeah, and I suppose it would, and it lends itself to, you know, whether it is Bernard. And that's the thing, I don't think when Bernard was left out of the team, it wasn't to replace him with someone totally different. Like, you're pretty much trying to replace like for like, in terms of it's the same with Dermot. When Dermot comes out, the system doesn't change. Dublin pretty much play the same way, apart from maybe Owen O'Gara. They're all physically very similar. They all have pace. They can kick off both feet. Owen's probably the one difference, who, if you did want to put him in on the edge of the square, he's a much more physical presence. But the rest of the Dublin forwards, like Paddy can play at 11, he can play inside. Paul Mannion can do the same. Kieran can do the same. So they have, Kev Mack can do both. So they have that versatility, and a lot of them can interchange. So whether, if it's not Bernard, it'll be someone with the same, they'll be going out with the exact same plan to try and execute from a corner forward position.
The one thing about Bernard, and if you look at a lot of his career, he's an out and out football brain and a poacher, because he knows the guys that's making the interjections are the deep runs. A lot of the time they know he's just there on the left hand side. They're the guys that break the line, and all of a sudden it opens up. But you have to have someone that has a football brain and knows your angle of running to be on your left-hand side or right-hand side. And oftentimes you slot at home or Pam at home, because they'll draw his attacker. And that's the beauty of it. It's experience is a massive part of it.
Everyone going for Dublin win, I presume?
I'm going for Dublin win.
Well, you have them in the All-Ireland semi-final. Yeah. Well,
exactly. We'll come back at the last week in August.
Look, it is going to be a Dublin win, but I don't think it's going to be the average 14-point defeat. I think it's going to be in single figures from a Westmeath perspective.
We'll have a game. That's the main thing. Mossy Quinn, David Brady, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.